What's up, MuggleCast listeners? If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Get your own .com domain name for as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, as a listener of MuggleCast, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
This week's MuggleCast is also brought to you by Borders. Prepare for the upcoming release of Book 7 by catching a glimpse of where it all began. During the month of April, you can purchase Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on DVD for only $14.99 at Borders. Also, be sure to reserve Book 7 at Borders at 40% off and get a free sticker. Choose from Trust Snape or Snape is a Very Bad Man.
Because of the magical things we do, this is MuggleCast, episode 83 for April 1st, 2007.
Alright, guys, this is the end of the beginning of the end.
It is.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I mean, when we were talking about the release date, I was like, it's the beginning of the end! Now it's the end of the beginning of the end. I guess you could also say it's the end of the beginning of the end of the beginning of the end of the beginning of the end of the beginning of...
And then all that in brackets, Andrew. All that in brackets. The and end. Then... Of the end, of the end, because all that's at the end is that big.
Very prophetic.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. Micah, you got your wish.
I did.
Not his wish, it was his command. Micah's
command.
Micah's got the certainty, and he's got the tools and the power to make things happen.
And the Yeah.
Micah, you know, every time you make one of these, I don't have any faith in you, but then sure enough, days later... You get results. I'm impressed.
Micah, I'm a bit broke at the moment, so you can ask her if she can give us a few million.
I need
a new
I'll put in that
fridge.
Request.
Thank you very much.
But I can't do that on the show, though. That wouldn't be right.
Okay. What if you just send her an email to her private email address? That would be fine.
Off air, yeah.
In case you guys forgot, today's April Fool's Day, but unfortunately we have no time for games or jokes or pranks. Because we have the cover to discuss. We have a lot to discuss about the cover. We also have an exciting little news piece that we all received earlier this week, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Are you sure you're going to... Mm-hmm. Are we definitely talking about that, Andrew?
Talk about it. I've gotten clearance from the right people, and...
Have we got advice from our legal team?
We have nothing to lose at this point. I really don't think...
You're right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Book,
Harry Potter's almost over. No, you're absolutely right. Let's just go.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Mike Tannenbaum, though.
Micah Tannenbaum is standing by the MuggleCast News Center with past week's top Harry Potter news stories. Micah, what could possibly be on the news table today?
Thanks, Simsy. Of course, the big news this week, a new portrait was released of Gary Oldman in the character of Sirius Black for the upcoming Order of the Phoenix movie. I'm just kidding. Back on Wednesday, Bloomsbury and Scholastic together released the cover art for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The full jacket for the U.S. version shows both Harry and Voldemort apparently engaged in a bit of wandless magic. The UK children's edition, however, is a bit more descriptive. We'll discuss all of that later in the show. And the British adult version of the book appears to have Slytherin's locket on the cover. Bloomsbury also announced that the UK edition will be 608 pages long. As previously announced, the U.S. version of the book will have 784 pages, making it longer than Goblet of Fire. However, the UK page count makes Deathly Hallows shorter than the British Goblet of Fire. Who cares about the page count? We're all going to read the book anyway. On the Today Show, U.S. editor of the Harry Potter books, Arthur Levine, stated that We're seeing Harry in a very interesting situation. Readers will find out exactly what the situation is. He is, of course, referring to the cover art. He also stated that this was a very emotional book for him to read. And it was announced earlier this week that the U.S. Deathly Hallows audiobook will be released on July 21st, the same day that the book comes out. The listening library, which creates the audiobooks, also said that the story will run over 21 hours and retail for $79.95. Last September, Entertainment Weekly caught up with the actors on the Order of the Phoenix set, where they were in the midst of shooting the climax Department of Mystery sequences. Be sure to check out all of the interview over on MuggleNet.com. And finally, a listing on Amazon.com has revealed that the Order of the Phoenix soundtrack will be released on July 10th at a price of $18.95. And I wasn't joking earlier about the portrait of Sirius Black. You can check out all of the new photos from Order of the Phoenix that came out this past week over on MuggleNet.com. That's all the news for this April 1st, 2007 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
All right. Thank you, Micah.
I don't think there's anything. No news this week, guys, right?
Nothing,
I
mean, nothing.
Nothing big, nothing major.
Actually, we're going to discuss it all. You don't even need the news segment. I guess it's a little late now because it just played. I mean, whoops.
Whoops.
But anyway, we have a few announcements to get to. Actually, we just have a couple of quick announcements to get to first, and then we'll move on to the main story this week. Of course, the three covers being released. We want to remind everyone to vote for us at Podcast Alley. We're number two. We're at the number two spot right now, actually, but it's going to be a new month today. Starting today, it's a new month over at Podcast Alley, so place your vote for us to keep us up
Please.
Top. And we appreciate that very much. And also, a special programming note. Jamie, your special episode is coming this Wednesday.
It is.
What do we have to look forward to?
I thought I'd give them a... Well, it's a kind of... It isn't a totally normal show. It's a special show. What we've done is we've recycled some of the old segments we used to... used, albeit not too well in some cases, but we've recycled them, and hopefully, you know, it'll be a trip down memory lane for everyone who has been listening a while. We've done such favourites as Spy on Spart, What If, The Dueling Club, and stuff like that, so look forward to that on Wednesday.
Yes, very much. So we'll look forward to that. Alright, so let's get right into our main discussion this week. Of course, the covers were all released this past Wednesday, March 28th. 7 a.m. in the morning. Were you guys up?
I was
you were, Jamie. It was noon your time, wasn't it?
No.
Yes.
Yes, it was. I actually wasn't up. I had quite a lie-in today.
Oh,
a 3 p.m. lie-in.
Oh, yeah.
I went to bed extremely late because the new Prison Break came out yesterday, and I wanted to watch it. And I couldn't because it was taking a long time to
come through the TV across the Atlantic.
To come through the TV, yeah. And it was taking so long to do that. I had to wait and wait and wait and wait, and finally it did it. And it was awesome, so I'm so glad I stayed up.
So we got the covers.
So, yeah.
So we got the covers.
Yeah, so we got the covers.
Gosh, I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about. I guess we'll start with initial reactions, because when I first saw the United States edition, I just thought it was a little too simplistic at first.
What?
The cover,
just
because...
Just a picture of Harry.
Compared to the previous books, and I mean, like, I really think the first book had the most detail in it. I mean, there's a lot going on the front cover and even on the back cover. And, I don't know, what do you think, Laura? This seventh one, it just... It was very bare, but I think there's a lot of meaning behind all of it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Whenever I first saw it, like, in the initial thumbnail size, I was like, what is this? It's just a picture of Harry. And when I pulled it up, I was kind of disappointed with it at first. Because I just, like you said, I thought it seemed way too simple. But then the more and more I looked at it, I started noticing things like, in my humble opinion, they're in the death chamber. And you notice the shadows of all the people standing around the edges of where they are, and you notice that, like, they're standing on rubble and all sorts of stuff, so you know that there's got to be something going down at the ministry. And, you know, it kind of grew on me a little bit. I like the colors. I like the way Harry's presented.
See, I just could not get excited about it. I can't put much store by the book covers, and I think they're book covers because the first thing you look at when you enter the store is
the book cover. So they're made to be attractive and, you know, and be colourful and that kind of thing, and to draw people's attention. They aren't made to be true to the things. And although there'll be hidden details that it's extremely exciting to look for, that comes after your initial reaction. So first of all, I wasn't too bothered. I don't want to say I wasn't too bothered, because I was extremely excited, but it wasn't like the title when I jumped up and down and broke six windows before I finally calmed down.
Well, Jamie, that surprises me though, Jamie, because...
Why, did you break seven?
I did. But also because the UK covers, and you'll presumably be getting a UK book.
Actually, Eric, I'm going to fly over.
Oh, right. Well, no, I figured you'd be here in July, so no, I don't know. But you'll be getting... what will be the first copy you read?
I'm going to get a British one. It's going to be a British one. And I must say, I've always liked the British ones more than the US ones. And this is no exception, I must say. I think this one's amazing. Actually, I can't believe I've just said that after saying I wasn't excited, but this one is
right, you broke your own rule there. No, I'm actually pretty excited, but I was the opposite, Jamie. I actually preferred some of the U.S. Covers, at least for, you know, Order of the Phoenix especially, even though the Phoenix is awesome. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. Yes, I wasn't really it didn't really show favoritism, but...
Yeah,
you know, I'm not that it's that different with Book 7, but if you look at the UK cover, which is the one that you'll be getting and the one that I'll be getting... here in New Zealand, it's just absolutely every book kind of has a color scheme, as Alice was saying to me the other night, or just last night, because we found it out at 2 o'clock this morning. Thanks, Andrew. And every book has, you know, kind of a color scheme, but this one, this UK edition, has every single color and every single, it's just a variety of hues, all sorts of them in blues and gold, and I don't even know what they're doing, but
it's very colorful. And I think that's one of the things that struck me about this UK version, was that how colorful it was. I just don't see the book being... Because when I think colorful, I think cheery and bright.
Yeah,
this one's very vibrant with very sharp colors. And it was sort of like, this can't represent the final book. The book's going to be so dark. But
it's ironic. Didn't you guys notice the background color, black, symbolizes death, mourning? You know, that's what I saw. First of all, I thought, oh my God, you know, it's black. The back thing's black. And although first impression was that the castle on the back looked like a sort of a Disney palace, Aladdin's palace.
Yeah, you
know, Hogwarts.
You guys don't think that's Hogwarts, do you?
Well, let's start with that. Let's try to move from one thing to another. I mean, there's tons of stuff to talk about.
That.
Do you think it's Hogwarts? I think it is.
It's
got to be.
I think it's got to be as well.
It is. It's that simple. It's Hogwarts.
I'm expecting to see Jafar come around the corner.
Yeah, it looks like it's from Aladdin.
The tree is there.
And, I mean, the flying carpet.
I think the castle's lit up like that, like it's being illuminated by the moonlight, because that moon is so huge that it's sort of... But I mean, that wouldn't explain why it would be completely, like, it almost looks, I would say, iced over.
Yeah. It does. An ice palace.
Well, it almost looks, the way that it's very rounded, like the towers and stuff, have you noticed that? It almost has a very Arabian-type look to it.
It well,
doesn't look
if
like
you think
Hogwarts,
about it, as
it doesn't look like it's thousands of years old.
The Whomping Willow is there.
Is that the Whomping Willow?
Well,
it must be a tree.
It's a tree, and it's black.
Is
and
it?
That's actually the thing that I was going to point out, is even though there's a lot of color, if you look at the far left of the back cover, it's, you know, right near the ISBN, there's the black kind of darkness, dark shroud, the cloud, the blue, chilly, icy moonlight, and almost ice palace. I'm going to go out on foreshadowing here and say the circular tower structures represent time being circular and everything coming full circle and the whole series and just, but I think it's Hogwarts.
One step ahead of the...
Bread line. Hogwarts. One step ahead of the mob.
I don't know, it's just like... You guys...
Sorry?
I mean, Jamie.
Has what? Sorry?
Jamie. Has Hogwarts ever been displayed on the books
so,
before?
Because
you know what? I don't know, because
in the...
I've left my books at university and I'm home now. And I can't remember.
Well, in the Goblet of Fire version, it doesn't... I can't remember if it shows on the cover, but I know that on the inside flap, it shows the inside of Hogwarts.
Well, yeah.
And
clearly, I mean, this is different, but this moonlight thing...
It doesn't
clearly
match at
all. You know, the moonlight is a big thing in this thing, but do you think it's a werewolf reference, or...?
I mean, it could be. I mean, those clouds are really eerie, too. They're not just up in the sky. They're, like, rolling onto Hogwarts, so it almost looks like...
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
It's eerie, but it's almost calming in a way. It looks like everything is very peaceful there, almost like a calm before the storm.
Well, if that is Hogwarts, what on earth is that symbolizing? The the Icy Hogwarts. I'm just going to keep calling it.
No, call it, I don't know, Aladdin's Palace.
Aladdin's Palace. I mean, what's weird, just real quick, the Hogwarts grounds closest to you from this perspective, the grounds are green, and then the rest is all icy. It's kind of weird. What were you thinking,
Mara? Perhaps it's a Dementor thing.
Oh, maybe.
Well, what I was thinking was, you know, if you look at the front of that cover, the trio, they're all sitting on this pile of, like, gold and rubies.
Well, that's very interesting.
All of these
different,
you know, talisman-looking type things. But those seem to match the palace-looking thing a lot better than they would match Hogwarts.
That's a good point.
You know, because it seems like the whole theme of that cover is items of value.
Well,
almost.
Yeah. I think it's too late to introduce a whole nother castle into the series. I mean, I think it's
well,
very
Beauxbatons.
It could be, maybe.
That's the kind of impression I got, the willowy air,
yeah,
airlessness
maybe.
Of, you know, Fleur. That looks very Beauxbatons-ish. Very Beauxbatons-ish. But this treasure thing, I mean, it really interested me, because it actually reminded me of that. And if anyone's seen this, please tell me, because I don't think I've ever seen anyone who's seen this. There was a cartoon, DuckTales, and they had a special called Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
Yep.
And there was this warlock called, what was his name? I don't remember his name. Morlock, or something like that. And he stole this treasure. And this treasure just looks identical to that. And that has made no perceptive point about Harry Potter whatsoever, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, I remember DuckTales, Jimmy. I saw that too.
Oh, good.
What I love about this cover is there's a lot to talk about here. I mean, first of all,
there really is.
Who, obviously, that must be a house elf behind Harry. Dobby or Creature? Yeah. I'm going to go for Dobby.
And why are they holding a sword?
It's the Godric Gryffindor's
sword. I was going to say, that's Godric Gryffindor's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if we
but like why?
And I didn't even notice until you said it. I didn't even notice that it was Dobby or a house elf holding Gryffindor's sword.
At first I thought it was Ron.
Like Ron.
Yeah, but then
small
you can see
clawed hands,
the skin tone.
But can I just say, what is Hermione wearing?
It's like a night. Is it a nightgown?
She clearly doesn't shop
see,
at the
now,
places nowadays.
Hermione and Ron both are wearing something. Hermione and Ron both look like they're wearing something. It's not a
stupid
Hogwarts robe. It's not a.
It's very billowing.
It's not something they would wear at Hogwarts, I don't think. And Harry, you can't really tell.
I hate to point this out, but the clothes that Harry's wearing are black, and we all know what black represents.
Yes.
And Harry looks like he's been through battle.
A lot of battle.
So does Hermione.
Yeah. What's if you look in his eyes?
Both of them, there are bruises over Hermione's arms, and Harry's got them all over his face, but Ron doesn't look like he's been
through
damage.
Ron just
loves
Harry's hair. Harry's hair looks awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Harry's and Ron's are both blowing in one direction, it almost looks like. But then Hermione's is just like all over the place. I don't want to get off topic, but Harry looks just... What?
Harry just looks a picture of elegance.
Now, Harry looks like Waldo
tell us
on this
where
cover.
He gets his hair done.
He does look like Waldo. Put him in a red striped shirt. No, guys, actually, this reminds, even though it's treasure, I wasn't quite sure what the blue was, if it was like glass or something supposed to. What it reminded me of was all the shiny fizzing things in Dumbledore's office. Now it's clearly not because it's treasure; it's actual gold, like items, like you can see, a goblet and things. But it just
they look like actual pieces of armor, though. There's a helmet
it looks like
there.
Pieces of what? Sorry.
Where's
the
there.
Helmet?
The helmet is right by above J.K. Rowling. It's got a dragon on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Where is it?
Oh, my gosh.
Where is it?
Yeah, you have to look
the
to
helmet
see
right
it,
above Rowling.
It's not very clear, but it's a helmet.
On what?
Because you,
on which?
The UK cover.
The UK
cover. All right, everyone talk at once. I mean, nobody talk at once.
UK cover.
The adult one, you mean.
No. U.S. All right, I mean, UK children's.
Where?
Okay.
Right
okay.
above Rowling, where it says Rowling at the bottom. J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, what's the...
Right
the
above it.
Look above the L. The L is where the nose piece comes over it, and then there's kind of an eye. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's a helmet.
The dragon one. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
A dragon helmet.
And then what's that underneath Harry's left arm?
That's what they call
it. Is that like a shield?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't look very big.
King Arthur like.
What's the thing underneath Ron's foot? It's like a
armor.
Baby holder.
It's a shield. Oh, it's a chest plate. There's armholes.
Oh, yes.
Look at
armholes.
And
I
then who is
this.
On that? What kind of creature? It looks like a snake, doesn't it? How it's sort of wrapping up the...
Oh, no. No, it's not
but
a dragon.
At the top, it looks like a bird.
It's the the thing that guards Dumbledore's office. What is that?
Oh, the gargoyle thing.
The gargoyle thing. No, the bird. The.
Can I just ask? It's how many of you have your necks craned now?
I am right now, actually.
Same here. My neck actually hurts. I'm so close to it. I could almost kiss Harry.
Because you can see the bird beak and eye, but you can also see like a wingspan, like this incredible wow. But that's not necessarily on the shield, on the chest plate. It could be reflected in the chest plate, maybe? Or do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Or something.
Haven't we also... We have to point out that Ron and Hermione look pretty, pretty scared, but Harry just looks completely determined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
Well, it looks like they've entered a chamber. Sorry, Andrew. It looks like they've just entered a chamber. If you look at the thing behind them, it looks like a circle, but it's not. It's actually just like a rounded doorway.
Yeah.
It's an archway, but it's glowing.
It sort of is.
Sort of.
What's the stuff around it? Is that like a wall, or is that like a substance? Because it doesn't look like a
wall. You mean
the
color? The red color? Solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Red. It doesn't look like a wall. It just looks like
nothing. Well,
you know what's interesting? What's inside of this archway, it's like the same color as the sky in the United States edition.
Yes, it is. Very bloody.
You know what I found interesting about the sky? Not to take us too far off topic, but it looks
Can we save it for the U.S. part?
Yeah.
Because I think people are...
Yeah, that's fine.
Go, Jamie. Yeah.
What about the unicorn?
Huh?
Where's the unicorn?
What about the stag?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What stag?
The stag on the right-hand corner of the... prongs?
Prongs,
I think,
yeah.
Obviously.
I missed it. Where are we talking about?
On the bottom
on the
right.
Bottom right of the
cover.
UK children's.
I'm looking, but
the
I don't
fold,
see it.
Past the fold. Keep going right, Eric. You got to look at the full one with the back cover.
Oh, right. Sorry. I just didn't scroll right. That's my bad.
Okay. I think it's prongs.
Oh, yeah.
But £18? Are they joking? $36. Oh, my God.
You're not going to buy it? Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, that's interesting that he's on there, because that sort of means it's emphasizing that prongs might play more of a role.
Make a reappearance, yeah.
I mean, because I remember with the Half-Blood Prince UK edition, there was that ring, Gaunt's ring. It was Gaunt's ring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know, I guess I don't want to over-read into it, but...
No, you do.
I guess. What do you think? What do you think, Jamie?
About prongs.
Yeah.
I think it just points out the importance of the Patronus, that it has been shown that it isn't just a charm to repel Dementors. You know, it can do that. It can also, as shown in Fantastic Beasts, be a charm to repel the Letherfold, the mythical tropical creature. It can be a, you know, method of communication, we think, between Order members. And when Harry is on the train and Draco Malfoy hurts him, and then he goes up to the college with Tonks. Yeah, I think it just points out the importance of that, and perhaps the love connection with his family. And,
yeah.
You know, Patronus, these are all symbolic.
Patronus is a real reflections of your inner self, is all I wanted to say.
What, Patronus is?
Yeah.
And we talked about this on a show a few months back, about how beautiful it would be to see Harry use a Patronus to either defeat Voldemort or just play a big role, because it's Harry's dad, it's his inner self that is coming out save the day, and it would be a beautiful ending.
It would be amazing.
Although the U.S. cover sort of contradicts that kind of ending, because it looks like Harry and Voldemort are on, you know, that's their final battle. But
well, let's not forget there's a battle up ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's finish. I had one question about this UK cover here. Are they falling into it, or are they coming out? Because it looks like Ron's falling in, but the other two are coming out, or Hermione's being pulled in, and Ron's just falling in.
What do you mean, being sucked in?
Oh, wait.
Are they being sucked backwards?
Maybe not just being...
They could be being sucked backwards.
Are they being sucked in, or
what if they're being
are they
sucked
coming
backwards?
Out? I can't tell.
I think they're being sucked backwards into it, like Hermione's feet are going in first, and then, because if you look at her hair, it's flowing forwards.
All of their hair
backwards.
Is flowing forward, really.
Which, you know, it looks like they're being sucked in. But then, if you look at
Harry's
Ron, he's Harry's face. You mean?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Ron's face. He's looking in fear at something and leaning backwards. So it could be they're all going back into it because they've seen something.
Yeah.
But then the coins are flying backwards, I think, as well. But
Harry looks like he's going forward, though. He's determined. That's what I was going to say. Maybe he's letting them go and going
Dobby's hand seems forward to be placed on his forwards.
Own. He's like in well, a charging like, position, yeah. almost.
Yeah. Well, perhaps they're being sucked backwards and he's going forwards for the final battle.
Could be.
Well, like, is Dobby riding back? Like, is he riding on Harry's back?
Yes, Andrew, he's riding Harry Brokeback style.
Oh, no, Jamie, that's not what I meant. I meant, is he riding on Harry's back? Like, or is he sort of grasping Harry to pull him in? I mean, there's so many ways this could be interpreted. I love it.
Well, you wouldn't think that Dobby would raise his sword if he was going backwards into it. You'd think he'd, you know, be flying forwards. But yeah, I think that. And also this, it could be that, well, perhaps Dobby's pulling them backwards with his power, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who says it's Dobby? If that it's creature, then
wait,
could it
why
be
would
betrayal?
It be creature?
No, it's not creature.
Well, Harry does own creature.
Dobby is going to be there. He's proven himself.
He does own creature, but Dobby's willing to help.
Yeah.
And creature's well, not. And
that,
creature.
Who says that that elf there is helping?
Well, right. That was my point.
It could be evil.
Okay, he's Gryffindor's actually sword, taking Gryffindor's so. Sword to kill Harry. Yes, yeah. That makes sense to me. Well, I mean, it could be any house elf, but just
that
the fact—just the fact that it's wielding Gryffindor's sword makes me think it's Dobby, because Dobby has been incredibly loyal to Harry.
Yeah. I just realized, you know what would be the ultimate cover? If it looked like the sword was upside down as if he was stabbing Harry, the fans would go nuts these next 3 months.
Yeah.
Betrayal. 4 months, being like, is Harry actually going to die? But anyway, sorry.
I had one more question.
What do you think about?
I think it's time to move on.
No,
Mara's got
a question.
Mara's got a question.
What is this thing over here? It's like an orb. I have my theory on the cover. And it has a snake in it.
Oh, yeah.
I have my theory. I talked to Jamie about this earlier, and I'm not sure.
And I almost died from excitement. And I flew across and kissed my
What are we talking about?
It was so good. This is very good. We're talking about, if you look at the UK edition,
got it.
On the far left, that thing.
Well,
Mikey, you sexy beast.
Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, because when I went back and read it in Chamber of Secrets, I wasn't convinced that it was the same thing, but if you remember back in Dumbledore's office, there's that moment with Harry when those two snakes sort of come out of that instrument that he has, and he makes that comment, in essence, divided. So I don't know if that's connected in any way. It may only be one snake in there. That's my
Wait
question.
A minute.
There's also, if you look in that orb, though, there's a window in there.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
It's a window in the reflection.
It's a window in the sky.
I'm not going to...
That looks kind of like the window in the Aladdin's Palace, right in the top sort of...
No, I'm sorry, it
right,
doesn't.
Right
it's
at
not
the top.
Doing it for me, Jamie.
Oh, it's not doing it for you. That's a bit of a shame. But what is... I want to say Palantir, and I'm sure I pronounced it wrong, the one from Lord of the Rings. It looks like that. Well, actually, it doesn't look a bit like that. I don't know why I've just said that, but it... Reminds me of
my other thought was, could it be a prophecy?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That was my first thought. Yeah.
With a snake inside?
I think due to
that was the one question.
Due to that it's colored, it's in color, it's not completely blue, I would like to think it's not a prophecy. In essence. I mean, I don't know why that makes sense to me, but I think because part of it's colored in, part of it's... I think it's like an illusion inside the glass sphere, like exactly whatever Dumbledore... his instrument. And I said this reminded me of his office, so...
But also, they look like real snakes. Yeah. I mean, like, in Chamber of Secrets, didn't he say that it was whispery snakes? Like, smoke
snakes?
Yeah,
that's exactly what they were.
Well, see, it's
weird.
These look like actual snakes.
Well, the danger is more real than it was in Book 2.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Kind of going along with the ice theme, if you look, one of them, you know, looks icy, and the other one doesn't. Which would sort of go along with, you know, Micah talking about, you know, in essence divided, kind of to show the difference between the two of them.
In essence, though, is that like Horcrux divided and essence divided, or is he talking more figuratively?
Well, no, I was just kind of remarking that one of them is frozen, the other one's not.
That is true, yeah.
Maybe neither can live while the other survives, I don't know.
Oh! I've just realized it's another Aladdin reference, like when he says, you know, come and fight, you cowardly snake, and he's like, snake am I? Absolutely, like, see how snake-like I can be. Yeah, that. I think it's that. I honestly think J.K. Rowling thinks, I can't think of anything original, so I'm going to borrow stuff from Disney, and this is it. Seriously, watch this space.
All right, well, do you guys want to move on to the... We'll get to the book summaries at the end, but do you want to get on to the UK adult cover
adult
first?
Launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, adult. I mean...
Now, there's a person on the back. I've seen her before.
I couldn't place
her face.
You know, it took me a while to figure out, like...
She's the queen.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah, Queen of England.
I thought it was that it's lady I saw on Pop Idol while I was over there.
Yeah, it was. It was her.
Oh. Hmm.
It was both, actually. She's the Queen of England, you think?
No, but seriously. All right, go ahead, Laura.
Whenever I first saw this, and this is the adult cover, the first thing I thought was that that locket looked like it came from the dollar store.
It's so you won't suspect that it actually has 1/7 of Voldemort's soul inside it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't.
I mean, you wouldn't, would you?
Doesn't it look says remotely S. like.
It's got rubies. It's
They're
got
not
it's
even
a locket.
Rubies. They're like pulled apart Mardi Gras beads.
Okay.
No, I think it's kind of cool.
Well, you know, Laura, Voldemort was tired. He didn't know what to do. He just went to a dollar store and said,
"Do you have any Slytherin lockets?"
And they said, "Oh, you're in luck, sir."
I think the design is pretty cool. Actually, I kind of like how the I don't even know what you want to call them. The Mardi Gras beads are. formed in the shape of the S, sort of, and they get smaller as they go further down the S.
Well, I don't think the locket itself looks bad. I think it's mostly the green beading that it just.
Why is it
well,
on
Laura,
there?
Laura, why don't you make a better one and submit it to Bloomsbury?
Fine.
Maybe they'll replace
Laura.
It.
I will.
Go book down. Hasn't gone to print
you
yet.
Put a Horcrux in there as well. Half your soul in there, Laura. Then you'll fail and really.
All right. So, are we all in agreement? This is RB's Horcrux. I mean, there's not our locket. There's really not that much to discuss with it.
Clearly, it's obviously of immense importance if it's on the thing. But is it just symbolic of all the Horcruxes as a whole, or is it this specific item that's important?
Maybe
well,
it's
this
the
one
last
just has
one.
To play really. Well, I mean, if we look at the past adult covers, the Goblet of Fire one had the. Goblet of Fire. The Order of the Phoenix one had what? Was it a phoenix? Or what was it?
I can't remember. Yeah, it was, I think. Yeah, it was the phoenix.
And then Half-Blood Prince had the book, the diary, the potions book. Yeah. And then this one just has straight up the locket, which is interesting because this was in book 6 and, you know, so many people have been speculating about it and now it's on the cover.
Andrew, that's exactly it. I think this symbolizes all the stuff that's been pre-hinted at and all the stuff that the series has been building up towards, previously. And the locket itself, it might not be special significance, except that it's one of the remaining Horcruxes, but just that it is one of the things that has been introduced previously and is going to play a really big part.
Yeah. There's a genie inside.
Yeah.
Harry rubs it and the genie comes out and gives him 3 wishes.
Because
he says, I want to wish for 1,000,000 wishes.
Voiced by Robin Williams.
I can't bring anyone back from the dead. It's not a happy sight. I don't like doing it.
Mike, do you have any thoughts on this cover?
Well, I think they're always going to be a little bit more, I don't want to say mundane, but...
Simplistic, though, but coolly simplistic.
Yeah, I mean, they're more adult-like, definitely. I guess more of a mature look to them, but I definitely like, of all of them, I like the UK children's version the best.
I agree.
I don't particularly like this one. It's
no,
just
they look
like
substance.
Sorry,
they
go
look
ahead.
Like J.D. Robb novels or something. I don't the adult
what
covers.
What substance is the locket on? It looks a very sort of
sort of a stone.
I actually don't.
It looks
think
like a Voldemort substance, though. You know, it doesn't look Harry
like a cave rock.
Do you think he comes back into possession of it? Yeah, it does. Well, perhaps it's the...
Considering where I'd like to prefer to believe that the locket is in the Grimmauld place, I'd like to believe that this locket is actually just in nowhere, meaning it's not really up against, say, rock, for instance, because it's still in a cave.
It's in limbo.
I think the rock is just for lighting effect, you know, where the terrain, the ruggedness, I don't actually think that's like a location where the locket would be. Even though it was supposed to be in a cave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we should move on now to the U.S. cover, which we originally started off with, and then we went full circle on everyone else.
Yeah.
That's okay. There's, I didn't see it coming as an orange book.
Yeah, me neither. But, I mean...
It's very ominous.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah, I do like it.
It is ominous, I guess.
What's interesting about it, what I was going to mention earlier, is that if you look at this, it looks like early in the morning.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought that, and then I realized that would be so cool if the battle was just all night long. And then the setting, yeah. And then
and then at sunrise, they thought, well, we've been fighting all night. Let's just call it a day. Go and get breakfast.
Yeah, you're McDonald's. It was another half hour. You want to just get some McGriddles continue this?
They're sitting in IHOP and across from each other, and there's very funny scenes that can be written about Harry and Voldemort at IHOP, but
seriously, I just thought it would be a perfect setting for the final battle where they go into this final area, and Joe sets it up as the sun was beginning to rise as Harry and Voldemort were doing whatever the heck they were doing all night.
Well, what do you
guys
think,
though?
That'd
be so cool. It's like the final morning.
But the color of the sky is pretty much identical to the one on the UK.
Yeah.
Behind the thing.
Yeah.
And Kieran came up with an interesting theory about this. I can't remember exactly what he referred to, but he said in a different series that color type thing is used to represent limbo. So is this beyond the veil? What happens beyond the veil? Is there
some kind of
limbo type thing?
Sorry, the curtains are drawn.
But they are often.
Where?
There's another cover in the US where that's actually Harry's four-poster bed.
Are the curtains the four-poster bed on Sorcerer's Stone?
Yeah, I think so. Of the hardcover. If you look at the hardcover, there's...
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure
there's
definitely curtains.
Why would they be the four-poster beds? There are curtains.
Well, there are curtains.
I don't think it's the four-poster bed,
well,
though.
I'm saying that
okay,
that's
well,
the veil.
Okay, well, you see Harry's hand holding
back.
The candle. Or
what do you say, Micah?
I'm saying that the veil is drawn back.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was my initial impression looking at it. Because, and I'm trying to look for the quote here from Order of the Phoenix, I think what Laura said earlier is definitely accurate, at least in my opinion, that they're in that room in the Department of Mysteries. Because it was said to look exactly like this, to look like a Colosseum that had seating all around it. And it looks like somebody's watching them.
Yeah.
Not just somebody, a lot of people.
And I mean, I would honestly take that as being shadows of the people beyond the veil.
Right.
And I find the rubble very interesting.
You can make them
not just beyond the veil, beyond history, beyond time, beyond present day. The shadows of the past, all the people who Voldemort killed, etc. All the Harry's family looking over him. But back to the sky, I too don't know what Kieran was mentioning, but I do know that in...
It was a very good point. I just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the first Narnia book, there's Magician's Nephew.
Oh, it was Narnia.
Was it?
Narnia.
Okay, well, if
I don't know, I can't remember.
Whether or not it was, in The Magician's Nephew, arguably the first, chronologically anyway, Narnia book, the kids travel, travel to this kind of dead world, which has been silent, you know, not a single sound or anything, this destroyed city in tatters, and there's like a red sky, and sort of stone pillars and stuff. So that might have been the illusion, but either way, so even though it's a warm color, traditionally not thought of as death, it could also mean something very hallow.
Well, isn't a red sky in the morning supposed to be symbolic of bad things?
The shepherd's warning. The shepherd's warning.
Well, it could also be symbolic of a new dawn. A new dawn is approaching.
Yeah.
Well, is this room the room with the spinning doors? Because
I don't think so.
No, it actually.
Guess it's that.
For a fleeting moment, I thought it was like a highway, a Muggle highway. Potentially, like an overbridge of a highway. If you look at where Voldemort's
hand is... Oh, a viaduct, you mean?
Yeah, a viaduct.
A viaduct.
Or a viaduct.
A train viaduct.
Or for
Andrew,
cars.
Do you remember that thing in Durham? It looks
sorry.
Like
well, I went away for a second.
The viaduct that the Hogwarts Express goes over. I mean, I don't think that's what it is, but...
Yeah, exactly like that, a viaduct.
It crossed my mind.
Why don't we talk about the way his hand is, because it looks to me like he's trying to draw some power from the sky, love, and, you know...
Yeah, well, they're both reaching for it, I think.
Yeah, whatever
it sort
is.
Of seems like Voldemort is reaching in that same direction. Actually, someone on the MuggleNet comments on the news post about the book covers being released suggested that it sort of looks like there's something there right above Harry's hand. And when you get in close, something he or she described it as like whooshy. And if you look close, there is something that looks different from the rest of the like cloud patterns in the sky. Do you see that, Laura?
Yeah.
It looks like a dolphin on the left.
What?
That one on the left, that white pattern, looks like a dolphin. Look, it's flippers at
you know,
bottom.
I'm getting it.
It does.
Oh, yeah, God. You're right, actually. Yeah, that's a little hidden message.
It's like, what's that dolphin movie called? Flipper? Is it Flipper?
No, it's not Flipper with Elijah Wood. That's a dolphin movie, but I think it looks more like a whale,
yeah,
like
said that
Free Willy.
Movie.
Free Willy, yeah.
Oh, Free Willy, yeah, that's yeah. It, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at Harry's hair, and it almost looks like he has some streaks of a couple gray hairs in there.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't he?
I mean, it could just be the effect of, like, light, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the question.
All right, so, hold on, wait, let's stay on the hand. So, what do you think this means? Laura, did you have an idea?
It almost looks like...
Not what it means, but...
Whenever I first saw it, my initial reaction was they were trying to catch something, like something physical.
Yeah.
That was flying through the air, but then
the snitch.
You've of course seen it. Yeah, they're playing Quidditch.
Whoever catches it wins. That's it. Game over.
Final showdown. But no, I mean, I was kind of thinking like, I mean, maybe something completely dramatic happens, like a Horcrux flies through the air, or something like, you know, Ron throws the locket or whatever. But
I think
the more I thought about it, the more it seemed like they were both doing wandless magic. Because yeah.
Well, you know
they're
what?
Holding
yeah,
wands.
They're both. I think
they're
both summoning
wands.
Something. Yeah, that's right.
And I have all the covers open here. Books 4, 5, and 6. Harry's holding a wand. 1, 2, and
when
3.
He's
not,
battle.
But when he's in battle, yeah.
You're right. This is actually Harry and Voldemort,
in
presumably
battle.
In battle, feet away from each other. You know, not even a meter, maybe, and they don't have wands.
Could that be what
so
they're
they
going
both seem
after?
To be, oh, that's true. Maybe one wand, but it's
now,
not like you don't need wands.
Okay, it's crazy this theory time. I'm going to throw something crazy out there. All
right.
They almost look like they're working together.
No.
Never happened.
See, they seem so close, though. That wouldn't surprise me.
They do, yeah.
Actually, if you want to get crazy theory time, I think they're both wearing brown robes, so they both converted to Jedi.
They are both.
They did.
They are both Darth wearing Voldemort. Brown robes.
And Voldemort looks like, you know, what's his name? Ian Hart, Ian Holm. I'll fix it. I'll
Ian Holm.
Harry's not scratched up at all, though, like he was on the UK cover.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason
kind of
why I brought that up, though, is because of what Arthur Levine said. He said that we're seeing Harry in a very interesting situation. Readers will find out exactly what that situation is.
I love when he said that, because I was like, oh, really? We're going to find out the situation? I didn't think we were going to know.
But
that's interesting, yeah.
The sun's too bright, and they're trying to shield their eyes. That's it. Look, yeah. Both of them are. Oh, and Eric, to continue your Star Wars reference, Voldemort looks a bit like General Grievous from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, well, he's more man than machine now, really.
Yeah, well, that's
machine
true.
Now the man.
Machine and the man.
I messed that up.
You know, I'm looking at. I have the Sorcerer's Stone cover here. I have it all stretched out so I can compare the two. And it's kind of interesting. There's a couple similarities here. One, Harry's reaching out for. I mean, on the Sorcerer's Stone cover, we can see that he's reaching out for the snitch. But he's almost in like the same exact position
cool.
where he's looking up with his mouth open, his eyes are shooting up, and he's reaching out for. In the Sorcerer's Stone cover, the snitch, but in this one, we can't see that. And also, on the Sorcerer's Stone cover, it's like dusk. The sun is setting, because we can see the stars in the sky, but also there's some sunlight closer to the ground. And this one, it's sort of like dawn, so it's the opposite. And then also, back to the curtains are on the... Seems like they're on the tail ends of the covers, and they're all like... I mean, the covers, the curtains on this book 7 cover are all, like, tattered, and they're, like, they're messed up at the bottom. And the ones on the Sorcerer's Stone cover are all, like, they got stars on them, and their ropes are tied back. It's sort of like, it's almost like they're the same curtains. Because we don't really know what these curtains are in the Sorcerer's Stone cover. So that was kind of interesting.
I always just kind of assumed they were... almost kind of to make it look like a stage in a way, like not literally saying it was a performance, but like
the
presenting
opening?
It as such, like a story. Yeah, well, kind of something along the lines of, I mean, I guess you could draw the opening and closing type connection from them. Because do you really see these curtains on any of the other covers?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, they are. There are curtains on one of the hardback U.S. editions.
I mean, I'm asking if there are any on any of the other ones.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's Sorcerer's Stone.
Because I don't recall seeing them. And it almost seems like it's set as a production. Like, not literally saying it's that, but saying the story's opening, the story's closing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that. Cool.
That
Go
is
Mary.
Cool, Laura.
Go Mary
that,
Grand Prix and Laura. For
Laura, that's awesome.
That is very impressive.
But, Andrew, what you said also about it being dusk, or rather, at the end of the night, sunset in book one and sunrise in book seven, I think it's, you know, Harry's world is getting darker, and in the end there's hope to see some light, you know, some his light getting lighter, whether or not it's the light at the end of the tunnel or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really liking this curtain thing because it's like it's almost like the same cover, only behind it, it's, you know, 7 years later, and
but then
the curtains are all worn
it's
out.
So cool.
It's the closing of the book.
That's
I really,
really
like
cool.
that. Mm-hmm. And you know that that's Mary Grand Prix, you know, at her best, which is, you know, I would love to think that she's had that in mind this whole time, starting with, you know, the curtains, how they are on the Sorcerer's Stone cover, and then at book seven being all tattered like that.
You know, I mean,
what about the?
Sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
Sorry, go on. Thank you. I was going to say, what about the pieces of wood at the
on the bottom
front? Yeah, are they they look broken to me, as in man broken, not supposed to be there. And
there's some that one on the far right looks like a rock.
Well, yeah, there's stone and stuff. It almost looks to me like they've broken the veil or something, like they've broken the archway.
Right.
Yeah, they've...
Oh.
And perhaps
oh.
their hands are there to shield them from what's behind it. If we put ourselves in their position, what's where they're looking now?
It's something in the sky.
Window?
Maybe.
I wasn't under
the impression. It's a love by rapid eyes.
Wait, that's the other thing, though. The Department of Mysteries presumably isn't open air to the sky, unless it's got a sky similar to the Great Hall, but the fact that there is a sky kind of maybe rules out that they're in the Department of Mysteries Stadium.
Unless the Ministry of Magic was destroyed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It looks like they've completely
that or
it.
Yeah, or the Veil did something, and or they're in the Land of Limbo on the other side of the Veil, and it might be a mirror image of what the actual Colossus is.
Wouldn't they be on the other side of the Veil as they stand right now because of all the people around
them?
Yeah,
it almost looks like they're on the other side.
Yeah, because you can see the people. You wouldn't be able to see the people if you were, you know?
But have you noticed that the shadows get a lot lighter as you go around to the right? They start off pretty dark, and then they get very, very, very sort of not
what
dense
if, like,
as you go around to the
what
other side.
What if they've gone through the Veil, and the reason you can't come back from the Veil is because it's broken on the other side? Like, it's set so that you, like,
well,
so you can't come back. Like, you can't come back.
I would say, Laura, that they need to repair the Stargate and get it up and running again. So Kurt Russell and them can get back to the other. You know, I've seen that movie.
Guys, we're at 46 minutes.
Yeah,
that's
what
it?
Do you guys think?
I feel like we've been going a lot longer.
Loads.
No, it's true. It's
yeah. Let's keep going. I mean, is there anything else anyone wants to talk about with this cover? I mean,
what is that
I think we've covered this
neck.
Very well, to be honest.
Yeah, that's got to be the locket, doesn't it? Doesn't it look? It's the same shape as the one on the adult cover.
Oh, jeez, Harry in the U.S.
Maybe
edition
that's
is
what
wearing something.
It almost looks like a pouch,
protects you
though.
When you go through the thing.
It looks like a pouch. It doesn't look like the Slytherin locket.
Yeah, it has his pocket money in it.
Well, I was almost thinking.
It's his iPod Shuffle.
I mean, we know how damaged.
He's listening to My Chemical Romance.
What it be? Welcome to the Black Parade.
You know, yeah, Laura, you're right. It does look like a pouch because there's the oval shape, and then there's something right
where
above
it. Looks
it.
Like
is that
there's
what you're
a drawstring type area to pull it close.
Right.
So
yeah.
2 seconds.
Right.
I mean,
it looks like a
it's
time turner.
Harry's. No.
My immediate.
Well, movie,
no, time
anyway.
Turners are.
They're more circular, though. I think they would be more circular, wouldn't they?
Or more hourglassy. I think it's a pouch. Though.
My immediate reaction to it was that we knew how damaged Dumbledore's hand got from the ring and whatever process he went through to destroy it. So what if Harry has the locket and he's keeping it in the pouch so it doesn't come into direct contact with his body?
Interesting.
Maybe.
In addition,
keep it clean.
Maybe it has to do with, keep it clean. Or maybe it has something to do with Voldemort not seeing it. I mean, obviously he was not hiding it with it just sitting there around his neck, but
it's interesting.
I think it. A lot of times, lockets themselves and things are supposed to protect against something. So I'm not saying he has Slytherin's locket, and it doesn't seem like it. But I think he has something in the pouch that might give him some protection in battle. Or it's just his bus fare to arrive
it's
at this
Ginny's
field
heart.
Somewhere.
She cut it out and put it in a bag.
It is, Laura. It's pretty violent, actually.
I have one more theory. What do you guys think about, now assuming it's the veil or whatever they're raising their hands to, what if they're fighting each other? What if Voldemort's trying to destroy something and Harry's trying to stop it from
being destroyed,
or vice versa? What if it's a Horcrux that Harry is trying to destroy and Voldemort's trying to prevent it from being destroyed?
It's very resembling of when Snape and Harry were fighting, and Snape and Harry tried to get something, and Snape blocked it, and Harry's trying to get. You know, they're both fighting for. Maybe I think they're both summoning something, really. You know, Ekio, whatever it might be. But what would it be that they both want? And also, I mean, you said they don't have wands. Obviously, they can't fight the same wands. And it's just Harry and Voldemort. And I think that's very symbolic and message-setting, tone-setting for the book, that it's really just Harry and Voldemort on the U.S. cover. And it's really just their battle.
Yeah, I was going to say, this must be the final battle. So we now know. It's just Harry and Voldemort.
But is it
a battle?
Well, sort of.
There's no Harry and Ron on the cover here, and there's also no Snape, which upsets me a little bit, but his book was 6, I guess. But
no, what I was going to say is that
if this truly is,
they're not facing each other, which is still what kind of bothers me in a way, because they don't look like they're going against each other. They don't look like they're battling each other. And like,
they look like they're both
catching before, Harry is not even messed up. He looks fine.
Yeah.
Well, they're
right.
Throwing football.
What's that?
Hey, Dad. it's like Toy Story when Mr. Potato Head. I have it backwards. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
You mean Buzz Lightyear and
Buzz Light-
Zorg?
Yeah. And they throw football after they realize that Zorg
Father.
Is Buzz's dad. That's awesome. One last thing. Voldemort's hands look very big.
They remind me of the Grinch,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
They could totally crush Harry's skull in, like,
yeah.
Well, Voldemort, I mean,
I would almost.
Sorry, in the.
Go ahead.
In other, like, you know, chapter art and stuff, Voldemort is always portrayed as being very big in the U.S. editions. Like, if you look at the cover art or the chapter art for the one showdown in the Department of Mysteries, Voldemort is much bigger than Dumbledore. So, I don't know if it's just a Merry Grand Prix thing or.
Yeah. And I really think it symbolizes something with the big hands, that he's very commanding and powerful.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well.
I like it. Is Harry leaning on a rock?
Yeah, it looks like
His right hand, is he like leaning on a rock?
No. That's in the distance.
It's hard to tell. Yeah, I think so too, yeah. Because it's sort of more faded than his hands.
Well, it looks like he's got his hand on something.
Or he's falling, or...
Yeah.
Or he's doing a dance. There's so many ways you can interpret this.
There's a dance off. They're doing the musical. They're staging the production of How They Became Friends.
Yeah. All right. Well,
they're playing.
Yeah. Let's talk. This cover actually. Yeah, you could have a lot of fun in Photoshop with that. All right. So let's talk about the book summaries real quick. We have here on both the U.S. and the U.K. editions. From the U.K. adult edition, do they say the same thing? Let me look.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah, it does.
No, they don't. Do it?
Yeah, they do.
Does it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So on the UK edition, it says, Harry has been burdened with a dark, dangerous, and seemingly impossible task, that of locating and destroying Voldemort's remaining Horcruxes. Never has Harry felt so alone or faced a future so full of shadows. Ooh. But Harry must somehow find within himself the strength to complete the task he has been given. He must leave the warmth, safety, and companionship of the Burrow and follow without fear of or hesitation the inexorable path laid out for him. It's interesting that they refer to the Burrow specifically. So I guess...
Yeah.
Well, it almost sounds like he leaves there directly to go on...
You would think that. However, on the U.S. edition, it mentions Privet Drive. It says, beginning, Harry is at Privet Drive.
It says, it mentions both of them on the UK cover. On the UK Kids cover, it says, on the back, it says, Harry is waiting in Privet Drive.
Oh.
The Order of the Phoenix is coming to escort him safely away without Voldemort and his supporters knowing if they can. But what will Harry do then? How will he fulfill the momentous and seemingly impossible task that Professor Dumbledore has left him with? I think it's interesting that they mentioned
Dumbledore. Well, it could mean he doesn't go back to Hogwarts.
Well, here's Hogwarts on the back cover.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't think...
You know, I like Jamie's idea that's the Bobatons. Bobatons.
Where did Jamie go?
Because it's all icy. Yeah, where did he go? He's quiet. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with Jamie and Laura there. Let's see. So what else is there to talk about?
What's the triangle?
Is that I was thinking about that, but then I realized it's probably... I think it's probably just the Bloomsbury symbol or something.
Logo, yeah.
On the UK version there.
No, their logo is the cat. The cat or whatever. The little thing sprinting across next to the ISBN.
Wasn't Gaunt's ring on the spine?
It was on there somewhere.
Actually,
it's
to show that AOL owns Time Warner.
Yeah, it's subliminal advertising.
The Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
AOL's trying to come back, and it'll be big.
Yeah. But one thing I noticed about these book summaries with this book is that they're much more ominous than, like, I remember with book 5, the book summary was cool because it talked about, it didn't say Umbridge specifically, but they said, I believe it was a teacher that was as sour as some sap or sappy or...
Blueberries, yeah.
Yeah, it went...
As, like, poisoned honey or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It pointed out, like, a few different things in the book, and this is just very, like, Harry's got to do it. He's got to take Professor Dumbledore's...
Yeah. Can he do it?
Yeah.
Will he do it? Can he do it? Will he do it? Can he do it? Well, and the thing about book 6 was that it didn't seem to be ominous as much as it was, because they were talking about, like, book 6's summary was, at least in the U.S. I think it was that, you know, people are dying left and right, they circle ads in the Daily Prophet for all the things, and they're watching, and it made it out to be something that the book wasn't actually, like, about, as far as things go. I mean, yeah, people were dying, but that wasn't at all about what Harry's journey was in that story, so
yeah,
it kind of just detracted from that, and then this is, like, dead on, but very ominous all the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much the extent of our coverage now. I mean, we encourage everyone to send in their theories about the covers. I'm sure there's going to be millions of them, and we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. You can email all those into mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. Some other smaller news that came out today. UK page counts confirmed 608 pages. Not really big news. And Arthur Levine, the Scholastic editor, was on the Today Show to formally reveal the cover. I give him props, though. Did anyone see the video? He was wearing a brown suit with a yellow tie and a green shirt. You know what that's just like?
Alex of the Remus Lupins?
No, what Harry's wearing on the cover of the U.S. cover.
Oh, right.
Brown jacket, green shirt. I thought that was kind of cool. Kind of clever of him to do there. So I give him mad props for doing some color coordinating with Harry. And you know, a couple quotes from him that he said on the Today Show. He says, "When I was reading it, I had both the excitement and the power of the book and the plot driving me forward. But I was also feeling a little sad. It's the last time." Yeah, Laura?
You know, I missed something. Something interesting that happened today. Kieran and I were talking, and he had me check
Does
the...
Does that not happen often?
Wow.
Well, no, we were talking, and he had me check the page counts in the U.S. editions, because in the U.K. editions, apparently, and this is according to him, Deathly Hallows is the third longest book, not by much, but it still is somewhat shorter than... I forget which book it was. But then... In ours, Deathly Hallows is the second longest.
By, like, quite a bit. By, like, 50 pages?
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah. So it's, I mean, obviously... Did you guys... I mean, this is what I thought, but whenever I got Half-Blood Prince, the typeset looked slightly larger than it had been before.
I think I
felt
that way.
But it could also mean that there are some things that the U.S. editors left in.
If there are, though, everybody in the UK will be pissed, especially because the UK should actually technically have the most. Technically, maybe.
Why? Because
JKR is the one writing it. You know, why would the U.S. edition have something completely... I mean, I don't know. It just makes sense that a lot of people would be pissed if Book 7...
They should be loyal to the British.
No, I'm just saying it would be... If anything is omitted, I mean, I would think that it would be a really freaking big deal, especially for the 7th book, when everything has to be exactly as it is.
Right, right.
So if it turns out that they left a bunch of stuff out of the UK versions, are you going to come back, Eric?
Yeah, I will.
All right, so I guess there's nothing else to talk about there. Again, email all your theories about the covers into mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com, and we'll get to them.
Oh, he's still on the covers.
On show 85, we'll get onto them. Show 84, there's no book cover discussion, so when you listen to it, don't be surprised. But then 85 and onward, we'll have plenty of discussion about the covers. All right, guys, it's time to announce what happened the other day.
Are you sure? An magic.
Oh my gosh.
To be we can back out now if we need to.
Well, I mean, that's what editing's for, but I really think that since this is the final book, we have nothing to lose. Think about it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's just do it. Just do it now.
So,
just do it.
We're all going to go around the table here to talk about what we experienced earlier this week, because it's big. And before we tell you, you guys should know that you're going to be a little jealous, and you're going to hate us.
There is an email address set up specifically if you'd like to hate us.
Yeah.
And there are support groups. There's the Facebook and everything.
All that, yes. All that discussion about the book covers, all that speculating we were doing, we made it all up.
Yes.
We actually know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in...
Andrew, don't forget what the legal team said.
I know. Oh, Jamie, can I just... Can you let me do this?
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
We received the manuscript to the final Harry Potter book. All of us received it. All right, we made copies, and then I ran to the nearest Xerox, and we... All right, so... I haven't told you guys the whole story yet, but I guess we'll start off with that, and then you guys can go into all, you know, the rest of it. So, basically what happened was I was in New York City this past weekend, and I had passed the Scholastic store, and I thought, wait a second, Book 7's done. The editors are all there. It's a weekday. It was a Friday mid-afternoon.
Yep.
So I decided to go in. I'm going to condense it all because, you know, all the details are irrelevant. I went in, and I ran into the one and only Arthur Levine, who we just talked about. And I asked him, basically straight up, is the manuscript here? And he laughed at me, and he said yes. And then I, you know, sat there for a few minutes, and I thought, how can I get that manuscript out of his office? He told me it was in his office. Exactly where it was. It was in his drawer to the right.
Yeah, but he knew you, Andrew.
He knew me. He knew me from MuggleCast. And so I thought for a few seconds, how could I get into his office?
Let me do it.
All right. So, Jamie, to be honest with you, I'm kind of...
He's recounted this story to me thousands of times.
I'm getting a little choked up because this moment was very special. Yeah. So, can you just finish this?
Yeah, please? So... Arthur went off and Andrew was sitting there in what he described as the nicest chair his bum has ever graced. They're extremely nice inside a Scholastic. And so he was just sitting there waiting along, and I can't remember her name, Rachel something from Scholastic
Fannin.
Came out and...
Fannin.
Oh, Fannin. Fannin. Okay.
Sorry? Fannin.
Fannin. Fannin. Rachel Fannin.
Yeah.
Fadden, oh, okay, came out, and she said that they're doing a kind of, because, you know, it's Book 7, and it's the last big book, they're doing a kind of online... sort of, what's it called? What word did she use? Online circulation, just to see what sort of some certain people think of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to be part of it? And Andrew says he acted all professional, but I don't think he did at all. Did you?
I wet my pants a little bit, but it wasn't enough so they could see.
No. Yeah. So he said yes, of course, and it took. Do you say 4 hours from there? 4 or 5 hours. And he went into the office, had to sign a million NDAs.
Mm-hmm.
non-disclosure agreements. They said it was embargoed for a few months, obviously until the release. But he found a loophole in it, which he'll explain soon. So yeah, he got the manuscript, brought it back, photocopied it. We each got a copy recently, and we obviously spent that night reading about it. And everyone has comments, and I'm sure they want to share, because it seriously is mind-blowing. But do you want to talk a bit more about the NDAs, Andrew, and the loophole you find?
Well, basically, I was reading through all the papers, and it turns out that I have a good friend who is a lawyer. And I was reading through everything about how, you know, you can't tell anyone about any details and how none of it can be published and everything. And my lawyer friend pointed out to me, his name is Stephen M. Capello. It's CapelloLaw.com or Capello-Law, something like that. He told me that, well, the document said that I could not directly tell anyone the details of the book. What it didn't say, though, was anything about sort of like broadcasting it to a general public. Basically, I could do it indirectly. So, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, all right, indirectly. Well, directly would be straight to a person, but if I did a broadcast medium, I could talk about it. So, what did I do? I made my own podcast, and I sent all the URLs to my fellow staff members, at which point the other guys will be explaining what they got.
So we have the audio broadcast of Andrew reading Book 7 to all of us.
I thought he was mad to do it, but that's, you know,
dedication. But this is how much Andrew, you know, cares about his friends. And so we all know what happens now.
Well, should we tell them what we think? Because I'd be dying.
Well, what do you think? We should divulge some details about the book?
Well, I just want to give away a few things. Well,
what did you have in mind?
I was right.
I wanted personally to talk about the death. I don't know what everyone else wants to talk about.
You mean the death?
Well, should we just do a quick spoiler warning? Just
talk about that.
Okay, everyone who wants to read Book 7, you just seriously don't listen now.
Forward 10 minutes. We'll probably be done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Right, okay,
So who dies?
Are you sure I should say? Okay, it's...
Why not?
It's two, actually. It's okay, two deaths. Ronald and Hermione. And I know so many people didn't want that to happen, but once you read it, you'll realize it had to happen. And it had to happen.
I was shocked.
I was shocked as well, but it's, you know, the point. I realized it was going to happen after they went into the ministry. And I thought if they hadn't have done it, Harry was in for it. And, you know, after they revealed that piece about the prophecy, you knew Harry had to survive. So I think they had to die for Harry to do it. So I wasn't surprised. I was very, very upset, but they had to go, I think.
Well, if you look at when they're in the chamber, with the delicacies, as they're called, and if you want to know how it happens, there's some hints on the UK cover.
If you take that gold to be literal, then it gives you a bit of a clue as to what's happening. So yeah, just take it literally, and you'll get a clue. And also the shape of the arch as well. If you look back at Goblet of Fire, is it, Laura?
Yeah, Goblet of Fire. You won't believe you missed it.
Just look back at that.
You'll be smacking yourself. It's crazy.
The color as well. It gives a huge clue. But Michael, what did you think about the death?
Well, you failed to mention not just people on the good side died. There are people on the bad side that kicked the bucket as well.
Go on.
Well, you know what I liked? Somebody got some sweet, sweet revenge, man. And I don't want to do. I want to talk about how Lucius died?
Honestly, guys,
you might as well mention it.
Yeah, we should just go all out. We already spilled the beans on.
Yeah, come on, let's go ahead and do it.
Lucius, I mean Dobby going hardcore with the sword into Lucius's back. That was some serious scene.
But I didn't know how he got into Azkaban. Was it like a spell, or did someone bring him there? Because
it's house elf magic, really.
Oh I suppose they did it. Yeah. He does have some powers.
What's important, though, is that Draco and, you know, that Dobby spared Draco, and that Draco was kind of
Why
like...
Why did he do that, though?
I don't know. But, like, what was important to me was that, you know, when Snape came, and it was the scene where they were at the, kind of underneath... What is that underneath the hospital?
Oh, the chamber underneath the hospital.
The chamber...
No, it's the... There's a tunnel.
Oh,
the tunnel to the chamber, yeah, but they didn't, yeah, yeah.
I mean, when they're, okay, they're in the chamber in the tunnel, but at the same time, it was Snape is just Snape kicks ass in this book, basically.
Yeah,
he's good, by the way. He's good.
He is good. Very good. But you'd think halfway through he wasn't good, but there's a huge revelation.
I didn't understand.
Yeah, you get even
why?
Yeah.
Out of the blue, he just starts making out with McGonagall.
How could you not understand that? It was built
up. Well, it's because everyone's... come on, it was so built up. No. Came out of the blue to me.
Andrew, did you completely miss the bit in The Pensieve right at the beginning when it showed their childhood? Were you asleep then?
The childhood was nothing. Just because they're playing with Barbie dolls together doesn't mean they're going to be making out 30, 50 years later.
Are you kidding? No, didn't you spot the love between them?
She's at least 30 years older than he is.
Okay, listen, Laura, we don't have to get all technical about it. Point is, they were making out.
They were, it's true. But I thought that paled in comparison to Harry's new job after he kills Voldemort. He kills Voldemort, by the way. Love comes into it in that he has a sort of blow-up inflatable heart and he's...
Yeah, no, but you shouldn't tell him the specifics. You should not...
I wanted to mention the heart.
You can say love. Okay. You can say love.
Yeah, so he puts this heart over his face and he suffocates him, so that was the sort of, you know... metaphorical love was going to kill him in the shape of the heart, which I thought was very clever.
Huh? They didn't use wands. Oh,
yeah, exactly. They didn't use wands.
By the way, Jamie, do you want to tell them what they're reaching for in the U.S. cover? Because we did that for a long time.
You sure?
Just do it. I mean, we're going all out.
Okay, fine. This heart that he suffocates Voldemort with, he doesn't actually have it, first of all. And Ginny comes along, and she puts this protective suit on that's... it's called an anti-veil thing. They bought it from a friend, George, and she puts this on and she reaches through the veil to where they're fighting and hands him this thing. So they're reaching up because Voldemort at this point realizes that this thing is going to kill him. So they both reach up and Ginny manages somehow to throw it to Harry, and he does it like that. But his job, come on. I mean, did you know he was going to be a basketball coach?
No. You know...
Yeah, that was really weird.
Just these things. You would think at least Quidditch. Like, that would be it. Yeah. You wouldn't go outside to real Muggle sports.
No.
Well, you would.
If it weren't for the fact that the whole world... I mean, yeah, go on, Lyra.
Well, I was just going to say, and the whole part where Neville ran over Bellatrix with Sirius's motorbike, that was...
Well, I did not think that was...
Wasn't that accidental? Was that accidental, or was that...
No,
he says it was. He says it was, Andrew. Come on.
Yeah, he says it was an accident.
He says, I didn't realize... By the way, that was my favorite line of the book, when he says, oh, I didn't realize that the gas tank was full.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Genius.
Yeah. Oh,
well, gosh. No, I love the description. The face of flattened pancakes and the...
Oh, it's brilliant. The
exasperated
lack of... I think Joe sort of let herself go there. I didn't think that was very original. I mean, that's been written before. That wasn't very Joe-like.
I know, yeah.
Micah, what was...
But it was so enjoyable.
What was your impression of Harry's job, Micah?
No, I was going to say, how would you expect him to be anything else after he lost all his magical ability?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
that's right.
I mean, to be fair, he might be a basketball coach, but at least it's in the limbo world because of the eclipse and everything.
Yeah.
And when the world ends when book 7 ends. And I don't mean just Harry Potter's
world. Oh, Eric,
you
shouldn't have said that though. I know,
but I have to say it because it's actually like we thought, you know, what would happen after, but that's why JKR couldn't say that, you know, I don't know if there'll be more books after because it just precisely. Not only does Harry's story end, but the whole world just ends. It's not like Harry dies.
The epilogue,
the world just stops.
The epilogue is one word, you guys. Should I tell them what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's one
on,
word.
Yeah.
It's just end. That's all it is. End. Yeah, and a period.
And scar.
Then if
and
you
scar.
Turn the page, it's just ha 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 ha.
Oh, well. another thing I wasn't a fan of, the Sorting Hat song at the beginning. I mean, I know Joe's been a Beatles fan for a while, but then he starts singing Help. What?
Yeah,
like,
he is. He really does.
That's pushing it. Isn't there copyright issues? Like, did she really get permission from the Beatles to do that?
Well, I think she must have spoken to them, yeah.
She would have.
Well, I hear that Paul McCartney did actually go to Hogwarts when he was a child, but he failed, and I didn't know that. He bought a guitar with his kind of failure money and started the band. So there is a kind of connection but yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that, Jamie. Thank you.
But, you know, we might actually be talking about this in a light tone, but this is actually, we have to emphasize, this is not a children's book.
No.
Because not only do you get to see Bill and Fleur's wedding, but... You get to hear about their honeymoon.
See,
I couldn't believe...
Yeah,
whoa. I just have to say.
I was just going
to
say,
that's all I
couldn't
say.
Believe when...
Whoa.
Before that, I could not believe when
that guy stood up in their wedding and shouted, "She's already married! I married her 4 years ago!"
I know! Can you believe that? Right out of Mari. Right out of Mari, I swear.
But I think we should stop there.
You can't.
Poor Bill,
though.
I think we should stop there.
One last thing that really grinded my gears. I know we are in the 21st century now, and, you know, we're in this high-tech age where there's computers and stuff. I know what everyone's going to say, oh, there's computers. No. But what really annoyed me was that they started using Facebook.
But no, but Andrew, that was how he found out where the Horcrux was.
Joe specifically writes in the Hogwarts network. I couldn't believe it.
What was stupid was that Harry was actually updating his status to say when he got into Warcraft.
I could not believe it.
Yeah,
I was like, what are you doing?
It was so obvious.
I know. Less Facebook time, more fighting Voldemort time.
Oh, come on.
But yeah, that post on his wall was so provocative.
The poking wall.
Come and get me, Harry, you scrawny, scarred idiot.
Guys, what about Aberforth's... what was it, alias? Like, Goatman or something that he was trying to pick up the little girls in the chat room with?
I thought that was disgusting.
Oh my god, and it turned out that Ginny was, like, almost swayed by... Oh my god, that was, like...
But also, what? Did you see those photos that Hermione tagged of Harry on his View More Photos page with Voldemort?
I can't believe she tagged remaining Horcruxes in as well. I mean, you just don't do that.
Try to keep
this
disgusting.
I couldn't believe that she actually had a picture of Harry and Voldemort. Like, they had their arms around each other and their thumbs up in the air. I was like, whoa.
Well, I couldn't believe that Voldemort had time to make that MySpace picture. You know, he had his camera and his robes out, and he was looking into that mirror, and he had his makeup on, and he took the camera, and you saw the flash.
I mean,
it was beautiful photography, but isn't he supposed
to be killing Harry? It's too MySpace, if you ask me.
It is. MySpace. And why did he put his income of $250,000 and above, because he doesn't earn anything, he doesn't have a job. You shouldn't rely on MySpace.
I wish...
And his song as well.
I wish Creature and Winky would just stop poking each other on Facebook and just hook up, seriously.
And what on earth was with Harry joining the All I Need to Know I Learned from Watching the Magic School Bus group on Facebook?
But I gotta tell you, those people were totally happy in the book at least when he did that.
That's true.
Joe made some friends in that group.
All right. I think we spilled enough.
We're done. It's that simple. Everybody outro. We're stopping.
So we hope we didn't spill too much for you.
But should we mention Joe's reaction, Andrew? Because I heard that it was terrible to behold.
All right. Well, I think it's just digging a deeper hole by talking about it. But she was not happy about it.
Scholastic.
I don't want to go into details, Jamie. I mean, we're running out of time.
Joe wasn't
happy, and...
Yeah. Maybe not with you, but me and Micah, she trusts us with her...
Why?
Her work. I don't know, but...
Why you, Laura?
I don't know.
Laura, you think that you should hear the stuff she said to me about you. Oh, my God.
She did not.
She did. Over a cup of
Andrew,
tea and a croissant, she told me all this.
All right, well, I think that wraps up today's show. We've been going for a while. We apologize this is the April Fool's Day show, no jokes, but it was a big week especially for us. Not only the cover, but we got the manuscript.
Yeah.
So, we thank everyone for listening.
We're sorry we couldn't do a real joke, Andrew. We should probably apologize. We didn't do a proper joke.
Well, it just...
An April Fool's joke.
Sometimes we just don't have time for it.
It didn't feel right, did it?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't feel right this week, what with getting the manuscript.
We have to be very serious now.
And speaking of not enough time...
To remind everyone about our contact information, you can send us parcel mail to the MuggleCast P.O. Box, which is 223 Mount Ridge, Kansas, 67107. You can also call in your voicemails by using 1-218-20-MAGIC in the United States. If you're in the UK, you can dial 020-8144-0677. If you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. And you can also Skype the username MuggleCast. Just try to keep your message about 30 seconds in length and eliminate as much background noise as possible. You can also visit MuggleCast.com for a feedback form, and you could also contact any one of us at our first names at staff.mugglenet.
Shouldn't we point out that please do not email us for a request to read or view the manuscript. We think that's pushing it a bit far, because we haven't actually revealed that much this
show. Yeah, there was a lot more.
We don't want to show anyone the real thing. Literally. We weren't even scratching it. We were poking it very roughly. The surface didn't even feel it.
Just once again, that's it for this week. Stay tuned on Wednesday for Jamie's episode, and hopefully in sometime in the future we will be seeing more of Ben, Mikey, and Ben, and everyone else. Good night.
Ben, Mikey, and Ben. Ben, Mikey, and Ben. He appeared twice, Ben. Two Bens.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
Couldn't quite remember that, Laura.
Bye.